What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 45 of The Overview. I'm Chanman V, and joined today, of course, by my two co-hosts, Fish Sticks and Jason Kaplan, casters, hey. Players, all that good stuff, or flows that don't know. And people are like, you should introduce your co-hosts sometimes, because I don't know who they are. So I'm like, okay, so I will. So Fish Sticks, how do we introduce you at this point? You're a caster, Well, Jason, help me out.
I'm a no-lifer. I work at Twitch. I'm obsessed with esports. It's what I do all day, every day. I love Overwatch a lot. I used to be a caster. I casted a few events.
You're going to be casting something soon, right?
Maybe. I don't know. There's no guarantees, man. Okay. I'm a caster looking for work. So there you go.
All right. And of course, we got Jason Kaplan, who is an ESL caster, as well as an aspiring
employed
Overwatch pro. Employed.
I'm what they like to call in the business a professional caster.
A professional caster. Wow. All right. Cool. And then, of course, we've got Flame, who is our, at this point, you're almost like a regular. So we'll call you a guest host at this point, who's our analyst on the panel
here. Watcher, ranked rager.
Professional rager.
Analyst in training, I guess. Not really in training.
Okay. All right.
Looking for work. I'm on the Fish Sticks looking for work.
Also,
the reject show.
The reject show.
All of us have real jobs, but not the ones we're aiming for, I guess.
Yeah.
Except for
So you've been doing your DIY stuff recently, Flame. Like, are you done with all that stuff now? Is your house like completely different?
Oh, yeah. My Christmas tree is gone.
Yes, your Christmas tree is gone. Yeah.
It's only been, it only took me until a week before Valentine's Day. But yeah, my floors are done. Life's good on the home remodeling.
Would you ever do it again? Because
If I got a new house, I think I'd do it again. Like, if I was going to buy a house again, I would do it all before I move in. Doing it after you move in is really rough. It's like, furniture and like stuff is in boxes.
The
dog can't walk on it. It was a hassle. Stress is gone.
You know what though?
Like, I find some odd sense of joy, like moving places and like having to buy adult stuff. Like, I bought a mirror finally for my bathroom, and I don't think I've ever been as happy buying something like that in my life.
Like, I agree, because I switched out my shower head like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh my God, dude. It's like,
yes.
And like, this is going to sound really nerdy, but like, the floor was done on Monday. I think I've mopped it like twice already. It feels so good when it's like clean and shiny and shit.
It's like cleaning your car or something, right?
Yeah. This is my new investment, this floor.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Definitely start to realize that you're aging a bit when the highlight of your weekend is like installing some new furniture and cleaning up and be like, yes, it's so organized. Yes.
That's true. All right. Well, anyways, back to Overwatch. We've obviously got our topics that we have every week here. I'm going to start a little bit about our week in Overwatch, see what you guys have been up to. Season's kind of winding down. So, just kind of see what you guys have been doing. Got a couple bits of news in terms of just general Overwatch news. Then we'll kind of have a topic of the week segment where we'll open it up just to whatever people want to talk about this week, or just any of the four of us and any kind of open things that we want to bring up here. And then we got some esports news, of course, some new teams forming, some new teams dropping or kind of splitting from a sponsor, and then we got some balance talk too, as well as some events going on with Apex, of course, some full swing assembly. Jason, you got the update at least with assembly winter for us, and then Strive Wires going on with Gosu, and just some tournaments starting up. Even we were talking about last week where there's just nothing going on, so it's good to see that there's at least some smaller events going on. And then Q&A, we'll probably take questions from Twitter and Twitch chat today, since we didn't have any email ones. So go ahead and tweet those to myself at ChamMV or at The Overview GG, or just hang out in Twitch chat and we'll take some there. Okay, so our week in Overwatch, what you guys been up to? You guys been laddering? You guys been playing arcade or giving up on Capture the Flag at this point? Because that's what it sounded like last week, at least. What you guys been doing?
I've been on a slow decline lately. It's been feeling real rough. So I've been playing much more on my alternate account, trying to get that to have parity with my main account. But I cannot seem to win on my main right now. It's been really rough. I hit a peak of 4.2K MMR or SR, and then have just been slowly sliding since then. It kind of sucks, but we'll figure it out. And you mentioned, Chris, the season is winding down, but is it really? Do we actually have a date? Because last I heard, there's still no date, right? We don't even know.
It's a 3-month cycle, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, it's like a 2.5, though, is the thing.
But when is the date?
It should be this month.
It should be next week.
Yeah, it should be really soon, 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe at the end of the event, because the event ends next week.
Yes, that would make sense.
That'd be the best Valentine's Day gift, I think.
What, new season?
The event
just
ending?
The season just ranked, like just having like 2 weeks of no ranked.
Okay, just a break from it.
Just a break from it.
Out there, just happy. Yes, the season ended before Valentine's Day. That means he has no excuse to do something with me.
Well, it has to end on Valentine's, or at least, you know, before Valentine's Day, right? So that you can actually do something on Valentine's Day.
What if they like surprise close the season? Would that be dick?
No, that would not be cool. That would definitely not be cool.
I doubt they're gonna do that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be a good social
experiment.
I would
not be very happy.
yeah. Okay, so Fish6 has been laddering. Jason, how about you, man?
I got to enjoy watching Fish6 play on his alt account. You're Reinhardt, by the way.
Solid, right?
Solid.
Not as good as the Winston, but
I thought I was looking at Reinforced 2.0. That'd be great. So for me, just been playing a couple games here there. Got a little bit lucky streaming. Ended up playing some games with Calvin when he was on EU.
Nice.
Got to leech some viewers from him. Then I did a QD today. Got to leech some viewers from him. But I'm like net 40 points so far. So like 42-60, almost close to top 500 again. That's about it. Just had to cast some, got to cast some Overwatch over the weekend with the Assembly winner.
Yeah, nice. Awesome, Flame. How about you?
I tried to do sub VODs last night, which is like one of those things where my subscribers send in VODs and I try to review them.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to the point where they tilt me harder than ranked.
What?
So I stopped doing, you don't understand.
You mean the VODs tilt you harder than ranked?
Yeah, it's like POVs of like anywhere from Grandmaster to like,
dude, where's your patience, dude? You're supposed to be patient with you.
I'm probably like 150 in by now in terms of how many I've done.
Oh my god, that's
wow! Like since
that's
I started,
lot.
Which was like 6 months ago. So when you consider that, you can only watch Platinums play Reinhardt so many times, you know. So I played ranked, and then that did not go well because I peaked. I was at like 43, 44. I was like 43.70 or something. Mm-hmm. So you know what goes up must come down. That's like the law of Overwatch gravity.
Right.
So I think I tilted down to the point where I started playing Symmetra with my controller on Eichenwald last night, but it was a rough afternoon.
That sounds cool. Watching.
Yeah,
it was interesting for a little bit, but like I went to switch back to mouse and keyboard and got like immediately headshot, and then suddenly the teleporter was down. Like it was a rough exchange of. There's everything. It's like everything that could have gone wrong yesterday went wrong.
I think you should start a series where you watch like a subscriber's VOD. And you don't look at their rank, and you're supposed to guess like what rank they are.
That might be a good idea.
That's kind of funny, actually.
But like the problem is that if I started saying like diamond, and then it wound up being grandmaster, it would just like.
That's half the fun, right? Is like you have to punish yourself. Like if you can't get it right, you have to like go do something really bad or eat something really disgusting.
Yeah, but,
right.
But how do you know, man? Like, there's so many people that are just surprise grandmasters this season. Like, surprise, here's your grandmaster.
Oh, okay,
like,
you're just giving them out. Is that what you're saying?
What
you get to see what they played in the season, so they have a ton of hours on D.Va probably last season. That means they were like silver,
yeah,
but probably aren't grandmaster.
All right,
so I have a question.
Someone had the idea of shortening it, like they can submit me a clip. And like it'll be like, what should I have done in this particular?
Yeah, that would be much better. That would definitely
that'd be much better. But that would involve them doing work, so it's never.
So I have a question for you guys because I've been really lazy about just with the game is just actually customizing my reticle per hero. I've just basically always gone with the smaller crosshair and just you know, used it for everything. But I recently just started to do it and was trying to figure out what works the best. And I wanted to see what you guys think. Like, is there any kind of categorizing of reticle? First off, do you guys use different ones per character? And then second off, do you kind of categorize, like, the hit scanning ones use this one versus, you know, maybe the tracking players or the tanks or whatnot? Like, what do you guys do for the reticle right now?
Well, first of all,
that's number one.
If you're going to choose any reticle for any hero, it color has to match the skin of the color of the hero you're playing. 100%. Like, it has to match.
Has to match the skill.
I don't know. I do, for Soldier, I have Bloom on, Crosshair, like a short Crosshair. So I'm going to change to like a circle soon. Mm-hmm. For like Hanzo, I have Bloom on. For like every other hero, I have Bloom off. For Zarya, I use a dot. I don't know. Like Pharah, I use the circle with the dot in the middle.
Okay, you want like a real answer?
You want a real answer?
I mean, yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So if you're playing a hero, that's how I play. If you're playing a hero with spread, such as like 76 or Bastion, you want to do short Crosshair with Bloom on.
Yep.
So that way you know when your spread starts, because it'll tell you. If you have a hero like Hanzo, I actually play with Hanzo default Crosshair, because it gives you like the Y indicator, like the depth kind
of
thing.
Yeah. That's really important.
So you can use that really well. And then like for heroes like Tracer, I guess Genji, it doesn't really matter, but like Zarya, Pharah, I just use circle because spread's not super important. And then it's just easier to see with like two layers of.
Right.
Do you mean circle or a dot?
Circle.
Yeah, that's what I've been starting to
go towards. I think dot is like the worst.
Really? I've been starting to use dot a lot more.
I've never been a dot fan, and I know a lot of people do like it, but for me, it's never been good.
I can't figure out the best color, though, for the dot, because I lose it after a while.
Well, the reason why I think dot's worse, just like objectively, is because the circle gives you range a little bit, so you can like adjust. Like if you're on the edge of the circle, it's just like an extra little thing for you to use.
It's a relative thing, right?
Yeah, to like adjust your aim.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good point.
You have to get used to that, but I think dot's like the hardest shit to aim with. I would never use dot. I can't use dot.
It's the most precise though, right? Just like
if there's a dot in the circle.
I think to Vic though, he has it as a dot and then has Bloom on. Like for Soldier, I was watching him. He has a dot and then Bloom on, and it blooms in a circle.
That's nice too. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's okay, but then the dot gets like bigger than the head sometimes, I'm sure. Depending on what you're shooting at, I would imagine.
Oh, actually, I never thought about that.
It's a pretty big dot. It's not actually a dot. It's like a little.
That's what I mean. It's like a circle.
It's like a little circle in there. I just use short Crosshair with Bloom. Bright pink. That's my
bright pink. So, okay, yeah. I haven't tried bright pink.
Even with Genji, you use cross short Crosshair.
Yeah, I've tried using a dot now for McCree. I like never play McCree. I'm just starting to play McCree, and it seems pretty nice. I don't know, but I just did that like last week. So
that's another reason actually why I like the circle, is because you can like put it around heads.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to try the circle a little bit more. I haven't really tried a lot of that with many of the characters or heroes. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up just because it was something random I was doing recently, you know, and trying to really customize that a bit more.
Have you done your 1v1 with your son yet? And what were the results?
No, we haven't done that yet. Well, I mean, no. We did that. Like a few weeks ago. So first round, that was like first round of 1v1s. He beat me. But that was like, you know, we were playing characters I never play. So like I was going to start playing some of those a little bit more, and then we'd go like, you know, for real again. But so I mean, I'd beat him with all the characters I play regularly, but then he'd beat me with all the other characters that I just barely ever play.
Let's just try cast that and then just like critique Chan Man the entire time.
Oh my god, that'd be
terrible.
Flame,
I don't know. That was really crushing play out of him. I don't know why he ran into that position. And
we're gonna see the Symmetra turrets.
I don't even know the meta of 1v1 on that map.
He's planning on doing with these turrets, but he should just camp them.
He should just camp it. That'd be
beneficial for all parties too, because we actually get a casting gig.
That's
all right. You want to hear the saddest story? The sad story. The other day, this was like 2 weeks ago. IDDQD challenge slasher to a 1v1 in Quake Live.
Oh, shit. Oh, really? Oh, crap. What happened?
I had more viewers in 10 minutes than I've had
in
10 months.
Who won?
Who do you think?
It was IDDQD, but honestly, Slasher beat him on Arrowwalk, but IDDQD got map control on whatever the last map was.
Okay.
It was on EU server. Slasher wants a rematch on NA. Maybe we'll get that.
That's respectable, then. That's good.
I think Uber and I were watching that from the office, and we're just laughing our asses off.
Yeah, Slasher was supposed to be, casting AMM or whatever.
Oh, really?
And they were yelling at him to leave because he wasn't in the AMM server.
During a casting gig?
There was a lot of It was great, though.
Right before.
Okay, it was right before.
It was hilarious. I don't know. If Flame could cast like that all the time, I would fucking love it.
That sounds like...
It wasn't. It wasn't super toxic. It was just like, and for a 40-year-old, when you consider the 20% LG accuracy, it's actually pretty good. And we're going to see the 60% rail, which is actually higher than the Immortals Overwatch team's average age. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I gotta catch that live next time. That's really, really cool. All right. Well, anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about some news here. So we talked. Well, it was kind of like last minute. Just kind of came up last week where Ben brought up the Bastion changes, and we talked a little bit about it. But I just wanted to bring it up, maybe just see if we have any different opinions on it after getting a chance to think about it for a week, or maybe talk to some other folks. What do you think about the changes now, or at least the ones that they're proposing, Ben?
Well, obviously, the heavy tank meta was super dominant in the last patch. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was like anything that would help mitigate that and be a good counter to tanks seems like a pretty good idea. But now in this patch, it's not quite as dominant. There isn't quite as much of a need, in my opinion, to have a character that's specifically expressly anti-tank, like what they're kind of proposing for Bastion. And guys, if you're looking for the info on these potential changes, it came from Zan, who's the lead character designer here for Overwatch. He proposed some potential
Jeff
changes
Goodwin.
That basically, yeah, Jeff yeah. Goodman. Zan, mm-hmm. Jeff Goodman, same thing. Potentially just make it so he's slightly more mobile, but less accurate, but more mobile and can do lots of damage to large targets like tanks. So I don't really know what I think about it yet. It's really hard to say, but I do think that there's kind of, it's kind of weird to create a character that's like specifically solving one specific purpose and then like purposely crap at everything else. I don't know. It's a weird design philosophy, but we'll have to see how it plays out. We don't even know if this is going to make it into the next.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Yeah.
It's a bold Jason, before Flame gives his opinion, Jason, what do you think?
I mean, should we talk about the specific changes or just talk about our opinions of it?
I mean, we can go through it specifically one by one if you want to. Let me bring it up.
I don't know. Like, I've never. I know Flamesy like kind of agreed with me on this. Like, I don't really like stationary heroes. You have to play around something in particular. Like, I mean, you have Symmetra, yeah, with the turrets, but like Bastion's major weakness was that he had no mobility, but he could do so much damage. So if you didn't deal with him, then you were in trouble. But now they're like making it so you can still do a ridiculous amount of damage, you can't headshot anymore, and you're a little bit more mobile, so you can switch in and out quicker. I mean, I'm all for trying changes, and hopefully this isn't a change that like gets put on PTR and then gets put right into the game without actually being tweaked. But I don't know. Like, I feel like not every hero needs to be 100% viable all the time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that from a design standpoint, that's a trap that a lot of people fall into, or at least a lot of games fall into, and trying to make every character viable at every moment in the game. I think that's not a very good thing. Generally speaking, I think having certain subsets of characters viable at different points in the game seems to work the best.
Well, it's like Torbjorn, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's viable on hybrid payload maps like Nimbani. Like, really, really viable there, really viable mm-hmm. in Hollywood, but you don't really ever see him anywhere else in the entire map.
I think that there's a distinct lack of offensive Torbjorn that should have been explored more. I'm not even trolling. Like, if you get that shit on a cart on King's Row, it's actually devastating. Yeah, have you ever nano boosted a Torbjorn in Molten Core?
Oh, dude, yeah, so good.
It's
you have
crazy
to like
good.
Deal with the gun, the level 3 gun that's now shooting at you, and then the Torbjorn that like one shots your Roadhog. It's actually insane. I'm just saying, like, people haven't explored that yet, but someone will, and we'll see it. But I guess on that topic, though, about the Bastion, it's like, I don't like the arbitrary rules that they put around it, too. Like, the concept of, like, oh, this hit scan is just not going to headshot. Like, where was that months ago? You know, I feel like that rule should apply to a lot of guns. Like, I don't even like the concept of headshots. I mean, that's just my opinion on, like, a lot of heroes, like Tracer and, like, I don't know, 76, maybe McCree even. Concept of like just hitting headshots seems semi RNG ish, but like they were talking about buffing his damage resistance when he's in this turret mode, but then at that point he's like a tank, so like you're countering a tank by making a stationary tank. Like,
yeah,
I rather it's just turn him into the they should just turn him into the StarCraft siege turret or whatever siege tank.
Just turn.
And then, like, his ult is a medevac that picks him up and puts him somewhere else.
Wait, wait, so if you were to do that, then it wouldn't be, like, this rapid-fire machine. It would be a chain gun. Like massive, it would be just a cannon, like, basically.
Yeah, it would just be a cannon.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would just chunk
that'd be,
turrets out.
That would be kind of a bit crazy.
I mean, he'd still die, right, to sleep dart, hook.
Yeah, true. Classic. But I don't know. Mechanics. He's pretty powerful. His ultimates are already pretty powerful when he's in.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. I mean, honestly, yeah. I wouldn't touch him at all. Is more or less where I was
okay.
going.
Yeah, so Jason, I brought up the points, like each of them. So which thing you think is the most curious as to, you know, what they're changing here?
I think the moving self-repair is kind of like the most boring thing ever. <It's> like, boring if you're moving as Bastion and you need to heal, well, you're going to die probably for being attacked anyways and be sure you have someone healing you. Like, I feel like if anything, you make it into where you have a gauge of it, but you can heal while you're being hit. So that way, if you're being attacked like really heavily, you can sit there and spam heal like Roadhog and just take a breather and sit there and heal the entire time he's being hit. That would make him a little bit stronger to being focused down. You would have more resistance that way where you just kind of pop your, I need to heal button, maybe gives you a little bit of damage resistance or something, but healing while you're moving is, it's, I feel like it's just a useless change. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I don't
agree.
Play Bastion.
Yeah, I think so
I don't
too.
Feel like it gives you anything different. I feel like it's just a change they added in that does nothing really.
It's very much a Band-Aid. For sure, it feels like a Band-Aid because this kind of moving heel thing is there's nothing very witty about it or, you know, very, very interesting.
I don't mind
it.
Yeah? Just anything to make him more mobile. He's just so... And also recon mode. Like, that's what a lot of the pros... And actually, this was in Siegel's AMA as well. What a lot of the pros have been saying, like, if you just made his recon mode slightly better. Mm-hmm. He'd instantly become viable in so many more situations. So now recon mode, you're going to be able to run around and heal and shoot. And it's going to all aspects of that are going to be better. That seems fine to me.
Doesn't he have 300 HP? What's his base?
I've never played Bastion.
300? Yeah, I think it is 300. It sounds like 300's right.
Because they were talking about lowering his recon form spread, which turns him into like a 76
that
self heals.
That's what I mean. Is he just going to
pull down 76? With like a 76 gun, and you can turn into a turret and mow down tank shields, and then turn into a rocket jumping. He has like the best rocket jump in the game, and then he like insta-gibs heroes when he's in ult. I don't know. It sounds like they're trying to turn him into like this jack of all trades Roadhog-esque character that like you can't really play against, and there's no direct counter to other than hooks.
And to correct myself, by the way, I didn't actually notice, like, in there it says you can't be or you don't interrupt your healing while being hit. Yeah. So that actually is a pretty good change. I didn't notice that part.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, yeah, good change then, because that means you can run away while you're being hit and still be healing and, like, have more survivability. So, yeah, good change then. I thought it was you just can move while healing, and if you're hit, it stopped healing. So
no, now you can ananuke your Bastion and just run into the middle of the battlefield
and I don't know.
Collapse.
For me with Bastion, I felt like it's such a tough place for Bastion, especially for just Overwatch generally, because his character and, you know, he's kind of like the mascot of Overwatch too, you know, in a way. Like, I think Tracer and Bastion are two of the most prolific characters, even when marketing Overwatch. And it's good to have those characters be viable, especially, you know, in esports and that and whatnot. But I actually was completely fine with Bastion just being more for the, you know, just the new players, you know, the more casual players, and just getting into the game. And it's like, okay, I can play this character that's very, very easy to understand, and it's very accessible, feels good, you know, just the way the gun shoots, or just the, you know, when you're actually in sentry mode. So I don't actually think they even need to bring it. I mean, it's cool whenever pros do figure out ways to, you know, like Ilios, they used to, you know, just C9 used to bring it up there. Or even we saw this past week with Mbani and some of the teams at Apex just trying to force it up there. I mean, it's cool seeing it just for a, you know, just the initial push and that sort of thing in the pro scene. But I don't actually think it needs to be used in a big way.
I guess my biggest criticism, too, is that it doesn't really change his problem or his problems. Like, he already shreds shields.
Yeah.
His issue is that, like, he gets hooked or sleep darted and he's dead, or pulse bombed and he's dead. And, it, like, the turret, whatever mode it's, I guess it's turret mode, whatever it's called, like, you're still going to be vulnerable. You're still requiring your entire team to play around you. Because you're still going to get hooked and die, or pulse bombed and die, or sleep darted and then nuked and die. Like, there's that problem isn't going to go away. Like, D.Va's still going to hold right click in your face and you're still not going to do anything. And I don't even know that any of these changes would buff that or, like, change that, of those facts.
It's hard to buff Bastion in a way they could be more effective against tanks and less effective against damage dealers. Because, I mean, that's technically what they did. They wanted to make them stronger against tanks, but by taking away the headshot mechanic and making the spread bigger, you can't kill a McCree super easily or a Genji super easily anymore because you have more chance of missing them. But even that niche, like, isn't that just a Band-Aid to the whole Ana thing?
But to add on to that, if he can't kill a McCree easily, like, how is he going to kill a Reinhardt easily? He's just breaking the shield. Like, that's what Roadhog's for. So I don't know what the bound, what, like, the number would be even that could make that gun do work without getting, like, if he's not going to kill the McCree, how is he possibly going to kill the Ana nuked Roadhog?
Yeah,
and, like,
can he really
do more reliable damage to a Reinhardt shield than a Roadhog could? And, like, what hero are you giving up to run this Bastion that gets, like, my PTR just started updating, so maybe it's live right now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe
<it
is. laughs> maybe they're answering my problems in real time or my questions, but I don't think that it solves any of those problems.
Just generally, just with the design of Bastion, it's going to be pretty hard to make him, you know, fit very nicely into the current meta. And generally speaking, you know, I think the Overwatch team has been good about trying to bring back some certain characters or certain heroes into the meta when they've just been non-existent in the meta for a long time. And I think generally speaking, that is a good thing. You know, again, like not having heroes viable all the time, but having different ones viable at different moments in the, you know, history of Overwatch. But with this one, I think it might be one that's not even worth trying.
If they buff Mercy, they would solve two problems, I think. I think you would run Bastion if you had Mercy still.
Oh, really? Just, like, the damage boost on her, or just the healing?
Yeah, like, if the thing with Bastion, too, is that, like, he's actually one of the better heroes to res because he gets value if you can res him into his ult, which is, like, more than a lot of other heroes. But, like, conceptually, Mercy is just in such a bad spot that you don't even want to damage boost Bastion anymore. Like, you don't want to run Mercy just to run your Bastion. But I think Mercy's in such a dead spot compared to Ana that a lot of heroes just aren't being picked a lot right now just because of that. Like, being a Pharah and getting 3-shot out of the sky by an Ana is, like, the most depressing feeling.
Right.
So, I don't know.
True. Well, why don't we move on from Bastion and talk about throwing games on the ladder? So one of the big topics this week has been, or just maybe in the last few weeks, has just been how folks that are in the top 500, or maybe just folks that are very at the top of Grandmaster, have figured out a way to kind of game the current bonus system. And the way they do it is that they'll literally throw games so they can drop down in rank, and then they build up a huge win streak. So, you know, by that time, like, you can start getting, like, 100, like, maybe even 100, over 100 points at a time, you know, after several wins, once you've, you know, just, I guess, beaten folks in the diamond/ you know, master range, and then you can just zoom your way all the way up to the top 500. And it's a known tactic. I know a lot of folks have been doing it. I mean, I even know some streamers who have like IDDQD, like, chose not to do at one point after, you know, realizing that it's not that cool for all the players down below. So he made a conscious decision not to do it. And I think other people are having to, you know, figure out whether to do it or not. So Jeff Kaplan addressed it recently in a post saying that they're doing something about trying to detect it and trying to figure out, you know, how people are going to be penalized for it. So, you know, right now, I guess the only best thing that you can do is just report griefing and, you know, just using the tool that they have right now for reporting. But, you know, it's something that they're looking at and probably going to try to deter. But in general, guys, you guys seen this tactic happening a lot? Have you guys even done it?
I have such a hard time believing that this is like an actual issue. I mean, yeah, it's super shitty for people to throw games on purpose just to tank rank. But are people really doing this like on a wide scale? I don't buy it. I mean,
okay, so here's the thing on this. It's like you get to a certain SR, it's like up in like I mean this is probably completely valid for all SRs. I don't know what it's like down below like master though. But people just like stop caring about ranked. And like that's like a common theme I think right now is like people are realizing that people are six stacking. There's like bugs, there's a bug right now that exists still where like you can somehow dodge your game and not tank any SR, and like people abuse really? That yeah. And then there's okay. people who six stack at 5 a.m only and play like 10 games in a row and get like 30 SR, and like that's their night, they get 30 SR from playing 10 games in a row, and they'll just do that every single week for 10 weeks and get to top 10. Like, there's all these different ways to abuse the system and game the system. I don't know if the bug still exists, but there was a bug where, or like a thing where if you three stacked or four stacked and then everyone left the party, it gave you solo SR at the end. Hmm. Wow. And like, there's okay. all these little broken ways that make ranked so not, I don't want to say valid, but inconsistent, that losing 10 games in a row doesn't feel bad. Like, I literally lost, like, I think 9 games yesterday or something. And like towards the end, you just stop caring because you're like, okay, I'll just gain this back tomorrow. And like that's kind of been like the feeling, I think, of a lot of players. So, I mean, win streaking up is definitely a thing. I think if you can somehow tank your way to diamond or even decay to diamond, there's a good chance you'll climb past your initial SR because you'll win streak from those diamond games. But
so this tanking and getting bonus, this all stems from the whole bonus that they give for win streaks. And, you know, just not having each match just be like the same amount of points, you know, each time, and your record will reflect pretty much your overall record, which should reflect where you are, like on the ladder. So that kind of begs the question: is it still good to have, you know, this bonus system or just win streak system? Jason, what do you think?
Well, I think you should have a win streak system because, like, you don't want to have to grind out, like, say, you decayed or you placed at some crap ELO. You don't want to have to win 20 points a game for like 100 games to get back to where you should be. Obviously you want to be able to win like a certain amount and get back there quickly to kind of adjust your rating. But I actually don't know why necessarily we're talking about the bonus system in this. Like, obviously it can be abused that way, but for me it's more of like, I literally just had a game today and we were full holding them on first point in the Bonnie, and one guy on the team's like, all right, I give up, and just plays Junkrat and killed himself the whole time. Like, that's how I see this should be more an effect. The people who are purposely throwing the game because they gave up.
I mean, that's just general. That's almost that's general what, that's ladder behavior, though.
Reference to. Like,
no, we're talking people that purposely like go into games and just... Okay, we're all just going to lose. We're purposely losing and tanking our SR so that we can get into a position where we're playing inferior opponents just to build up win streaks. And then, so by the time we build up, we're getting like 150 points each win. That's
I mean, yeah, thing. Like, I mean, I had that happen with me when I won, not like the decaying or not the dropping part, but I mm-hmm. won like 10 games in a row and I was getting 100 points a game. But I don't know. How do you detect that?
I know. That's the big thing. It's like, I don't even know how they're going to detect people throwing.
Is like a good thing for them to have as a problem, because I think it's going to show them how hard it is for them to address it.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll make gameplay changes around that, or just changes to the system changes? In general.
Okay.
Like, conceptually, how do you tell the difference between the guy who's trying his hardest and the guy who's like purposefully picking Bastion? you know, like on random points that shouldn't be picking Bastion, or like just like pick it. Like you can throw with a bad composition, arguably. And like if I wanted to lose 20 games in a row, I could just play a mediocre Mercy. So like, yeah, well, am I gonna be penalized for picking Mercy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you detect that?
I mean,
because I could easily lose games playing a good Mercy.
I mean, we could go through just ways. I don't feel like talking about ways to actually try to game that, but there are probably ways to detect, at least if you're playing your normal heroes, as to what your average stats are, and figuring out some algorithm there. But it is going to be very difficult to detect. So maybe just getting the message out there will deter people from doing it generally, because I don't think it's too crazy, like Ben, like you're saying, but it's definitely happening, and it's definitely, you know, hurting the experience for players that shouldn't be playing Grandmasters. You know, that's the biggest thing. That it's affecting other people, not just, you know, it's not just gaming the ladder and having them get to 100 top 500. It's like people, they're playing like me or something like that. That really sucks for me, because I have no chance of beating this guy at all, and that's ruining the experience there. So it is.
You could say the same thing with Smurfs, then. If I were to make a new account, yeah, and be climbing my way up, like, I'm still ruining games for you because I'm like stomping you, but you can't ban me for having a Smurf.
So, and I guess my point on that too is, like, I think that fundamentally the game makes you want to lose sometimes, because you can't actually play with your friends until your SR hits a certain number. And like, quick play isn't anything enjoyable to me. I mean, maybe I'm on the outskirts of some numbers, but like, if you're a Grandmaster player and you're sitting at 4,400 and like your friend in real life is like, hey, let's queue some Overwatch together,
you're like supposed to play quick play. You're supposed to play quick play.
Yeah, you're supposed to play quick play. But
so it's a tough problem, and it's a problem that's, you know, I think it's going to stay there or linger there until, you know, we see some changes with how just the overall system works. I'm not even sure how I would tackle it if I was having to do it.
You can't. You actually can't. I could res my Roadhog every single fight and just feed them an extra 600 damage worth of ult and lose the game that way. And just play a completely normal Roadhog that way, or a normal Mercy, and just keep getting decent reses off, like two-man reses that actually just actively loses the game. Maybe, and like, how would you possibly know that was me throwing?
But maybe like causing folks to actually have to put even more time and effort, even to fake it, is, you know, possibly a deterrent also. Like, so only the folks that really, really want to do it, you know, will be able to. Right now, it's probably very easy just to literally just stand there and just move your mouse a little bit and just throw games.
I mean, that is detectable. That should be detectable.
Yes, that should be very detectable.
That is bullshit. But like playing Mercy or playing characters you're not good at or whatever, mm-hmm, playing Junkrat, you know, that, I don't know. I honestly, this game is so teamwork dependent that I don't think any player can really carry consistently enough to actually make this like throwing things so you can get win streaks thing really like that big of an issue. What is an issue is people throwing, period. You, like, if you're actually throwing purposefully, like that's shitty. That's the problem as far as I'm concerned. The win streak thing, you know, that's a separate conversation whether there should be win streaks or not, but I just don't think this is like as big an issue.
But I just want to highlight, like, what do you do about the Reinhardt that switches to Widowmaker after like one failed push?
I mean, you,
and then is like, all right, someone else play Reinhardt. Like, that's literally throwing in my eyes.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
So like, that's what I mean. Like, it's so, you could easily lose 100 games in a row by insta-locking Reinhardt and then 1 minute in switch to Widowmaker every game. And like,
yeah, true.
That's actually like an easy way to tank a million SR. So I don't know how he plans to automate it, I guess, is my problem with his post or whatever.
We'll have to see what he comes up with. I'm sure they'll figure something out. Or maybe they just don't tell us much and they're doing something behind the scenes. But we'll have to see what the penalty is. There's going to have to be some kind of very visible penalty to doing this sort of thing.
Is it considered throwing if, like, I name myself Widow only and I only play Widow and won't change even though they have a Genji, a D.Va, and a Winston? Like, is that considered throwing?
Exactly. But I like top 500 and like Grandmaster, it should be. So
yeah,
that's my issue with the whole system is like,
yeah, the concept of throwing is difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways,
we got game lobbies.
Yeah, we do have. Yeah, that's true.
Like, what
breaking news.
freaking use game lobby on PTR.
Oh, are the patch notes out? Shoot, are the patch notes out here? Let me see. We have game lobbies? Oh my gosh. Man, why do they always come out like during the show? Like, we always, why can't they come out the day before the show? We could talk about it.
You'd think we'd learn at a certain point that the patches always come on Tuesday.
I know.
Like, clip size for turret config is now 300 and clip size for recon's 25. Wow.
Oh. That's
dude, the new lines are beautiful. See, this is me. I complain about Overwatch for like a week and then give me a nice little update. I'm like, yes, everything is great.
Where's an image? Give me an image.
Yeah, link me that so maybe I can bring it up.
How much is launcher PTRs? I can't really help you. There's a lot of different things here. But Chimman has to do it.
Oh man, okay, so I have that though updated right now. I can't do it right now.
For ranked, why isn't there role queue? Like, for instance, in League of Legends, you can queue as top, middle, bottom. Why can't I just queue as a tank? And then that way I play tanks only in the match. And then that way you have people who want to do Widow only can do fucking Widow only.
No, there should be low priority in this game like in Dota. And it should force you to win games in a low priority queue where you have to like win 5 games in a row. And you don't even get to pick your hero. It gives you 3 heroes to pick from. And those are your 3 heroes.
Well, okay, so keep going. I was talking to a friend of mine, John, about this, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago. And he actually suggested, or he actually thinks for the health of the game at all levels, that Overwatch should really think about implementing a, you know, a 2-2-2 requirement, you know, or just molding the game into that way. You know, obviously it takes a lot of the flexibility and the creativeness about, you know, having 4 tanks or 4 DPS or any compositions like that. But it would prevent us from getting into a meta like the 4 tank meta or the 3 or 4 tank meta that we've been in, and which has been, I think, generally not great for people of all skill levels. And it would, you know, kind of simplify things too. Is that, what do you guys think of that?
I don't like it. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 DPS is tons of fun. 3 DPS, 1 Winston is like my favorite way to play this game, especially on like King of the Hill. So I don't know.
Want to hear my crazy idea?
All right, last point before we move on.
You guys can say no.
Yes, Flame, I
want
to hear
yes.
I want to change the format of ranked. I want teams to go into like a pick your hero phase, and it doesn't lock you into your hero, but your team has to trade like 2 full alts to swap one person's hero.
Oh my!
Just for rank, just
for
like
so complicated, dude. That's like
no,
crazy
it's not complicated. I want you guys. I want the defense to know what the offense is running, and I want the hero swapping to be like situational and worth something, and like based on some sort of economy. And I want alts to be less active, like less prevalent in every single team fight. And I want teams to be like, huh, should I use this res or should I sacrifice it so my Mercy can play or my McCree can play Pharah against their Junkrat? Like.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice.
I want talking points.
I know, but that's something that I don't think they're, you know, we can't even mix and match ults right now, or even just like, you know, disable ults and that sort of thing right now. So that's definitely pie in the sky type of stuff. But it would be cool. It definitely would
be
cool.
To
be
fair, they also said that hero stacking was a core mechanic of the game, and now we know how that is.
Right.
I want hero switching to be a core mechanic of the game, but I want it to be like more obvious.
Hero stacking.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But they've also said hero switching is like a really big core mechanic, but like I want the game to revolve around it more. I think that if you're not going to do some weird locking in like Dota, then you should like make hero switching be like a very, very interesting mechanic. Like the HUD doesn't even tell you when someone switches heroes, and I think that that's like a huge problem. I'm sure Blizzard's watching this video. That's why I'm going off on these tangents.
Yeah.
We have a new developer update, by the way, introducing the server browser. Oh,
well,
Griffin
said we should watch it live.
We should.
Hey, hey Chris, just saying, after the show, maybe we should just play the video on stream because Griffin from Blizzard just said we should do it.
Okay,
so.
Okay, totally.
Wait, let's just give Griffin what he wants right now. Just play it.
Should we?
Dude, how long is it?
I don't know.
If you got time, Ben, it's usually you. Let's see.
It's 9 minutes.
We got nine minutes.
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
Link me it to me real quick, so I don't have to find
it
right now.
I'll put it. I'll give it to you.
Do it live.
We are doing it live. Here we go.
Griffin,
play it.
All right, fine, dude. All right,
here we go. All right, let's watch it together. We'll watch it on.
Welcome everybody to another developer update. I'm Jeff from the Overwatch team.
Oh. Gotta give us
a new jacket. Oh my god, how do I get that jacket?
Because we're gonna talk about a feature that we mentioned at BlizzCon and we're finally introducing to you guys. And that feature is the server browser. So to start, not everybody knows what a server browser is. A lot of you who played shooters back in the 90s and early 2000s know exactly what a shooter server browser is. But it's a really cool feature where people can run custom versions of the game.
He lets us increase server
limits to like
16.
Other people can find that game in a public list and then join it. Mm-hmm. So we are adding a server browser that's going to list all of the custom games running in your region. And what region means is if you have your region set to Americas or Asia or Europe, you will see all of the custom games that are set to public in that region. And there's all sorts of sorting and filtering options to help you find exactly what kind of game you're looking for. So if you know ahead of time that you want to play a certain mode only, or if you really want to find a certain map because that's what you want to play on right now, you can search the server browser for that particular map and get right to it. We have a really cool filter option that lets you filter directly for things like maps or heroes that are enabled and disabled. Or we've added a type-in
box where you
can search for analyst games. You can type in exactly what you're looking for.
Does that mean you still get no XP, though, for searching for this stuff?
You might just say payload or escort. Or
it's got to be, right?
I'll get there, right?
And all of those things
I think
work.
So.
You can play. You can just search for games where Roadhog is banned and enjoy yourself again.
Match those
that sounds lovely. Or just King of the Hill.
So we think
just
that's
King of the Hill,
be
like
a
all
really
day.
Great way for players to find.
Seen a shocking report. There have been 0-2 CPU lobbies in the past 3 months.
Now, you might be wondering, why do we add this feature? Like, what does this bring to Overwatch that doesn't already exist?
At least you can pug now.
We recognize that the majority of our players like to play the game.
I want
to
play, like, team damage on 5v5.
A lot of our
just,
players
like, see what the hell Overwatch
with
is like.
The arcade as well.
With, like,
and
crazy
different
rules.
Junkrat, trap your teammates into the enemy
players
team.
Players want to try different things and play the games in different ways. And it's not really viable for us to put up a matchmaking system where we could feed everybody into everybody's different possible custom game. So for that reason, we
put bots on the enemy team too.
You can make a custom
game
with
bots
that are out there and decide for yourself, you know, do I want to partake in it or
not? Insane bots.
Now, speaking of custom game, you guys have seen this feature before, but we're doing huge updates to custom game and bringing tons of new functionality to the feature. Off the bat, one of the most exciting things about the new custom game feature is you can now gain
experience. Oh my God, Jeff.
Well, experience, but not really SR, right?
But you
can get loot boxes.
You can get
scrim with your friends in purely competitive mode.
All the pro players are going to be like fucking gold border soon now.
The custom game feature, which should be really cool for you.
True.
The other thing that we're adding, really big announcement.
No more Enigma level 5.
Here, the Rooster event was fantastic. People have responded so positively to Capture the Rooster that
except
we are adding CTF as a game mode that you will be able to
enable.
Oh, shit,
we can play custom CTF now.
But we need maps, game. Man. We need maps.
And we are adding
nine additional maps.
In addition to the three Capture the Rooster
AKA
maps,
King of the Hill Ilios, or CTF Ilios, CTF Li Zhang, and CTF whatever. Yeah.
From our other control maps. Yeah, so they're all there
CTF
for you
Nepal.
To play around on.
There you go. That's
we've been
nine.
Having a ton of fun.
that was obvious.
But beyond that, what custom games
there are your maps, sucka.
For you to play around with. So I'll use Capture the Flag as an example. We've been reading a lot of the feedback, listening to a lot of the feedback.
Jeff
on
t-shirt.
It's still good. It's still, I mean,
heard things like,
I'm still
well,
down with that.
You should require my team to have the flag if we're going to capture the enemy's flag. We now enable this as an option. You can set
so
it if you think that the game mode should work that way. Or people have
Ilios Ruins would actually be
alright. This game just got infinitely more
the flag
enjoyable
should have
to
a
play.
Pickup time.
Because now we can make pubs
longer,
really.
Oh my God,
it
now it's actually CTF.
It's up to you now. You can set it to whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be instant,
all these options
awesome.
And toggleable
to
things.
To longer than we have it, you can do that.
Let's do something fun, Ben. Let's do something fun soon.
We've been talking about it long enough.
That lets you select whether or not hero abilities work. So maybe all heroes' abilities work like they do currently in the mode. By default, or if
what
you prefer, you can make it so no hero abilities work in the mode, Or even different, another option that
we can turn off spells.
Yes, you can turn off. So you can turn off abilities in ultimates.
Mobility.
Right, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You get an option.
This is so good. It's so good.
Flag return
Everybody
time.
Gets an
you can change the flag to return time.
I haven't smiled this wide since my floor was
You can change how many flags are required.
Holy crap. This is awesome,
dude. This
doesn't
just apply to CTF. You can go into the payload map and change the payload speed.
No Roadhog hook.
So basically, instead of having
speed on control points,
people
if you want.
Like make
in
static
mode,
mods,
you can, even
you can make a mod as you
does,
you know start these games and lobbies, basically. I mean, it's basically a mod every time you do that.
They need to add the abilities so you can like save settings then, because it's going to be really hard.
Yeah, like a template. That's true.
You know, Tracer's a problem in escort maps. You can turn her off if you
want. Just make the payload super fast.
Yeah, get Tracer off payload maps. Get her out of here.
Oh my god. We could do a whole episode just on this. This is ridiculous.
You can now go into each individual hero abilities and turn them on.
I mean, everybody who's like an old school FPS gamer knows that in all these old games there's always like 24/7 X map servers for like everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Is this gonna allow you to like create servers that last forever, or is this something that you
no
do?
No,
it's a custom game.
It's just a custom game, right? So definitely not the same.
It's really fun.
You could see like a certain
if you do a template, if you can save a template though.
If Jeff would give me a permanent like 8v8 or 10v10 instant respawn Hollywood server, that'd be dope.
Dude, just do ARAM.
I want to try there.
Yeah. Get ARAM and Overwatch.
ARAM isn't that like
a custom game that you put up and is available to the public? Has one team with a single Roadhog with triple his normal health against a team of six.
Oh, you can even change the health.
You can play Titanfall with Roadhogs as the Titans.
Wherever your creativity takes you,
you can just give Roadhog an extra 500% HP, and each team gets one Roadhog, and you have to kill it.
Come up with fun.
You just clash in the middle of Godzilla battle.
We need a brainstorm, man. Oh my god, there's like a million things we can do.
Probably not there in the first
streaming just got fun again.
Already, as we're
making events, just got super fun.
We are. Already have some ideas.
I said PTR, just put it live. Whatever, man.
And other options we'd like to add. So what's exciting to us is as this feature is out there, knowing that this is a base or a foundation that we can grow further customization and further new fun options and new fun ways to play over
24/7 on Amura, second point only. For like what options you want
to see to a custom game. And to the server browser.
I
want to
play
but
Godzilla.
Also,
I want like 500
all the different things
HP
that
Reinhardt,
doing,
500% HP
Hog, and
just like
and see, you know, wow, everybody's running capture
make
the flag.
They can actually change
with
the model size.
Yeah, that'd be
sick. It seems 1,000 times the size of model.
Than our version of the
that's
capture
awesome.
Flag.
Okay, that might
we're
be going a little too far,
to
changing the model size.
To adjust what we're doing
that might be too
based
much
on what's
customization.
Popular with you guys. So it's going to be a really fun feature. I think it's a really great start to a great feature that's going to grow over time.
And before there's
really
like five people queuing ranked
over again.
You guys
have to say about it. And we'll be right there on
Everyone's
the PTR with you testing it. And we'll be there playing the game with you guys live. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do, and we look forward to what you have to say.
Oh my
Take
god!
Care.
Holy crap!
Take care.
That was that's
nice.
That's probably the best update.
You should have just dropped the mic,
like,
man.
Ever
just picked it up and just dropped on the floor.
Holy crap! Okay, so just real quick thoughts. I don't even know if we're gonna be able to finish all our topics today, but real quick thoughts on that. That crazy news. I mean, I think that's. I don't think any of us here. That hasn't been one of our wish lists, like when it comes to Overwatch. And I think they've gone beyond what our wish list is, at least for like phase one. You know, I was thinking iteratively, this is like 4-5 iterations past what I thought they would do for something like a server browser. Jason, you haven't said much. What do you think about all this?
Cool. I don't know. Like,
oh my God.
It's not something that really appeals to me. Like to play custom games and to do all these weird little freaky things because I never really played the arcade mode with like the brawls. I mean, it's cool you can customize all this stuff. Maybe they'll have like a better competitive mode come out through it, which I think is kind of what they're hoping to do. But I don't know.
This is actually insane, but
I'm not super excited. But I'm not excited.
I feel like it gives you like the ability to be a developer.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what it is.
I'm literally opening this thing. It's like settings, heroes, reaper, wraith form, on or off, shadow step, on or off. Like I can literally just turn stuff off and change the multiplier of like how long it takes and what their HP is.
Like, can you change damage?
Yeah, you can change healing received, movement speed. You can change projectile speed. Nuts.
The damage, per bullet, headshots, anything like that.
Yeah, damage dealt, health.
Oh my god!
I can literally just make my own game in this.
Yeah. So the, what's kind of cool about this too is that, I mean, you could potentially create a better just what we see right now with competitive Overwatch. Just we can play around a little bit and see if we can come up with even just better version of it. And, you know, hopefully they would adopt it if it was, you know, like if they saw that it was being received more. So I feel like, yeah, they're basically just throwing it out there to the masses to come up with some, you know, cool stuff to do. And maybe, you know, they'll eventually just add it as permanent things in the game. That's kind of how I'm seeing it.
I'm not excited about it, but I'm not just like under the table, you know, to it.
All right.
Yeah, because why would you hide it?
Why would you? All right, Ben, what do you think about all this?
I'm somewhere in the middle. I think this is really cool. I think it's going to allow us to test a lot of things. You're right, Chris. Potentially the biggest upside here is that we are going to be able to put our little developer hats on and be like, okay, what happens if we adjust Ana or remove Hook or whatever, all these things we joke about. But we're going to be able to actually test these now. I think customization's going to be really cool for a lot of the community. A lot of people are going to find themselves playing specific game modes, specific servers, specific maps more than anything else. And that's going to be really cool for them. At the same time, I see where Jason's coming from. Like, I'm going to be playing ranked. Like, I just know myself. I'll try some things, but for the vast majority of cases, like, I'm just going to probably be sticking to ranked. Unless someone creates the perfect rule set that's just so fun and so balanced and so exciting that like everybody in the competitive community jumps on it, which even if that happens, like we'd still need to follow Blizzard's lead to actually do that for tournaments and things. But yeah, I mean, I think this is really, really cool for the casual community. I think this is really cool for us theory crafting and testing and trying out new things. And maybe some of those will make it into the game, which is like a huge upside potentially here. But other than that, I'm with Jason. I'm going to be playing ranked. I mean, I'm sorry, Kiki.
Of course, No. Of course, ranked isn't going to change. I mean, of course, all the competitive players. Yeah, we're going to play ranked. But you know, as a event organizer or a community event organizer, holy crap, this is like, I'm so psyched about this.
I might never
stuff.
Play ranked again.
So psyched about this.
About?
Stuff. This is ridiculous.
All right, here's my only thing: is I wish that there was a way that I could like. If I could like save my settings to like a file and then like upload them again.
Yeah, like a template or of some sort. Yeah.
What?
Map balance changes. Aeschenwald. A second gate no longer closes after the payload pauses through the castle doors. Instead, rubble from the damage doorway partially blocks the entrance. No more giant choke point.
What about the first point, though?
The first point's the bigger problem.
Baby steps.
Hold on, guys. We have patch notes.
Oh, shit. There's so much content today.
Just forget the rest of the show. Just forget what the agenda was for the show.
I was at my lowest low yesterday, and my highest high.
Oh, my God.
So, looks like they talked about the D.Va change, where basically you're going to be able to stop... You know, the enemy Roadhog hooks a teammate. You're going to be able to actually absorb those bullets, the split like centimeter it comes out of his gun. So that's like a pretty decent buff for D.Va.
It's actually a really big buff, yeah.
Yeah, especially against Roadhog. May, Cryo Freeze. May can now be targeted by allies. So like you could put like a Harmony Orb or whatever on a Cryo Freeze. May, not very big deal. Let's see, Mercy. We got a couple things here for Mercy. Whoa.
Wait, how are you going to call that not a big deal? You can like pre-bubble your May now
it's good. It's decent. It's good.
It's good. It is good.
It's not like the biggest deal in the world, but let's check out these Mercy changes. While performing resurrection.
You can turn, if your Ana nukes your May, you can remove that heal debuff while she's in the ice block. That's huge.
That's a good point. But this is even bigger. Resurrect while performing resurrection, Mercy now becomes temporarily invulnerable along with all the allies. So that's
decent. I suggested that 2 months ago. Where's my boy?
Zenyatta can no longer be targeted when Transcendence is active. Okay, that's minor. Guardian Angel sensitivity. You can change sensitivity for like auto targeting. Okay,
and for Anna as well, so you don't target Lucios all the time.
Yeah,
same thing.
And you can't get high noon out of trans anymore. There's a lot of like you're treating these things as very small. They're very big.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Right, that's Mercy. Torbjorn. Right, Torbjorn. Here we go. Okay.
Okay, you can. I guess you can animation cancel with Rivet Gun now or something. I don't know this change.
No, it's because it used to screw up. Like if you were in ult and you tried to drop, like something would happen. There was a problem where you couldn't reload if you dropped armor, and I think that this is just to fix it. I hope that this is to fix it.
Okay. See, Widowmaker has something here.
Sensitivity.
Just like more.
Every character has sensitivity options for things that like auto attach to.
That's huge, man. Characters. The widow thing.
We're gonna see less boostios, I guess. Is the idea here?
Yeah. What's wrong with boostios, man? Those are so good. Let's see.
Daria's Icon Vault change is awesome. I'm for that.
Rubble in the door. That's good. Any other? That's the only map change here. Okay, that's good.
Really nothing big. Like bug fixes, nothing big at all.
Still,
really.
those are pretty cool.
I mean, okay, to go back to the custom server stuff. Like, I think it's really cool that you can change all these settings, but I don't see like pros taking the time to tweak all these settings to find a new way to scrim.
You're right.
All these tournaments running the standard competitive mode. And like that's never gonna like you're not gonna see an organizer change the game mode completely, like say healing's reduced 50% in our tournament, because I mean maybe the smaller cups, but you're never gonna see a 100k tournament with those settings enacted.
If someone gives me 100k, I will run a tournament with
But like I don't see Blizzard's allowing an organizer to do that because they want to keep the game as close as they possibly can to the current competitive rule sets.
It might not be 100,000.
It's cool in theory, but I don't see like. I mean, eventually there'll probably be like settings change around to the point where people are like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I love the way it's being played here. But like Ben said, I'm going to still be playing ranked. I still want to grind points for going guns. I still want to grind on the ladder. Like, but the fun little game modes are cool. Like doing that, you know, Roadhog as a raid boss kind of thing. But to like make the competitive rule set more proper to the way maybe we would like to see it is still going to be something that's like far-fetched to actually have happen.
I mean, that was an extreme.
And that's competitive.
Okay, so that was an extreme example. I was just throwing out there as just, you know, a thinking point, you know, when we were talking about ranked. Of course, ranked is the main storyline. That will always be the main storyline. Overwatch League will come out. It's always going to be the main way to play competitive Overwatch. But the whole point of it is, like, it's about, like, the breadth and just filling the community, you know, just the Overwatch community in itself. You know, there are lulls that we always go through in terms of just the competitiveness. I mean, we're going through a lull right now, you know, like in terms of competitive Overwatch. And this is times where, you know, it's filled by fun things in the community, some different things in the community, you know, just for a very full and diversified community. And this is the type of thing that allows for, you know, true community type of events, you know, whether it includes the pros, you know, the pros want to play in, you know, things we talked about before, like 3v3 tournaments and 1v1s. I mean, this is well beyond that. You know, whether they want to play in those type of things, we can get some like, you know, cool, very, you know, high viewed events going, or whether it's just like for, I don't know, even like flames like Discord, you know, whatever, just you can actually do some cool stuff now for the community. And it's completely facilitated by this.
And also, the downside of it is that you're joining custom games with people of random skill level that you have no idea.
Yeah, and that's up to the organizer to figure all that out. That's not up to the game. Yeah, it's up to
us. We're going to have the Flame Invitational next week.
That's right. Exactly.
And it's going to be all the top European teams with no tournaments. They're going to be like, let's try Flame's crazy rule set. And maybe they'll love it. And then Blizzard will be like, wow, this is cool. I enjoyed watching that. We can cast it. You know, we'll get more content out there. Jason, I'm trying to be positive here.
Anyway,
I'm actually excited because there's like so much shit you could do now that's like you couldn't do last week. Like I can literally balance something myself and see if it's good and not have to like think about it.
Right.
We probably could vastly overestimate what percentage of the community actually is super competitive too. I think, you know, we got some Blizzard people in chat right now. I'm sure they have the stats in the back end. Probably the number of people that play quick play and or maybe are low ranked or whatever or maybe even play against bots. Like, it's probably way bigger than we think, and those people are going to benefit greatly from this. Also, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Flame Invitational. That sounds awesome.
That sounds definitely great. Okay, well, that was unexpected, but very, very great surprise in terms of just our segments today. So we're going to have to fly through some of these that we actually have planned. But before we do that, I do want to give a shout out to all the folks that are listening on iTunes, as well as the other audio channels that we are available on. But specifically, I want to give a shout out to a couple folks that left us 5-star reviews and some great comments. CyberChimp224, Monkey King J, thank you so much. And if you'd like to help out the show, and you know you do listen to it on iTunes or you're on iTunes, go ahead and look for the overview by searching for Overwatch Podcasts or just type in the overview and leave us a 5-star review if you like it. And that would be awesome. It helps folks find the overview when they're trying to find Overwatch Podcasts. Okay, so esports news. So we got a few team news that maybe we can talk about a bit. Two Easies announced that he's forming a new team that's called Team Bench Boys. And it's got a couple players in there that we might recognize in Crew and Kib. And let's see, who else was it? It was also
Howl and Gray.
Howl and Gray. And it looks like a main tank is going to be announced soon, too. So, yeah, good to see. Good to see Too Easy getting something. Uh-oh, what?
Spill it.
What? Spill it.
I don't know. Or maybe don't I've spill. Been talking to Too Easy. Maybe I've been like, hey, I heard you guys need a Reinhardt player.
Oh,
I can play Reinhardt.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
I mean, I'm better than Winghaven, probably.
Whoa!
You shit on Winghaven every episode. What is this?
Gosh!
What is this?
Slowly becoming my thing.
Skipjack is still available right now. I think if I had to guess, and this is just me guessing, I would say that NRG is trying to find a main tank, and whichever one doesn't go to NRG, it'll go to Too Easy.
Oh! Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Because NRG's got money. Too Easy doesn't really have money. He's got a bench.
So okay. I'm gonna talk about like a topic that should be brought up though about the roster is that Kib, nice guy, but he left Reunited for like no reason because he overestimated the commitment it took to be a pro player, even though they were doing really well with it.
That's true.
Is he committed now in a way that to help push his team go far, or is he gonna burn out again after a certain period of time? And then Crew as well, like Crew sits on teams fairly well for the most part, and then all of a sudden there's like this explosion point where he kind of just doesn't play anymore.
How many teams has Crew?
How stable is this
going to
be?
Crew, he's three. Is it three?
At least
Melty, Flat Earth, Graviton Surge, which became Misfits, Luminosity, now Benchboy.
Okay,
yeah. So the issue. I mean, I don't want to flame Too Easy because I actually love Too Easy. He's like my favorite person in the scene, but like. He has like this gift, like this God-given gift to take people who should never be together and make them like be together. Like if you look at FaZe in the vacuum, that team would have never came together if he didn't do it. Like there's absolutely no way Zom, Shadowburn, and Forsaken could be on one team.
Yeah, but he makes it work. So
exactly, that's what I'm saying. So like I have a lot of faith in him. Like I have no doubts in Kib and Crew on a team with Too Easy because Too Easy will find a way to unite them in some weird friendship bond of
maybe
eating Anna or something. I don't know.
The thing about Kib and maybe with Crew too, maybe they just like more of a just an organic type of team that's not trying to commercialize or anything like that, trying to make it into a team that could either get picked up by a sponsor or is in some type of position to maybe get into the Overwatch League right off the bat. So I'm curious. I'm definitely curious to see what happens
good.
With this.
I don't care how bad they start off. They're going to be good.
I'm more curious about Howl and Gray. Like Howl, he played for Italy in the World Cup or the Overwatch World Cup. Gray.
Oh yeah.
No idea who Gray is, to be honest. Maybe it's just some guy they matched with and played with on ranked. Isn't that who plays for Lunatic High now? They just saw him on ranked and hey, we'll try
Kib.
You out.
That was Kib's origin. Well.
That's how I want to say Gray. Is like whichever one the Anna player is has like three top 20 accounts as like Anna only or something.
Good lord.
Top 50 or something. Like I talked to him about it, but I heard I think they're gonna be good.
All right. Well, next bit of news. So we saw Kangarna, what is it, 2 weeks ago now, or maybe a week and a half ago, finished second place at NGE, and they had been picked up by Ghost leading into the finals there. But now we're hearing that they've split from Ghost from their Twitter channel here, which I'll show. And that's pretty odd, given that they've only been with them for about a week and a half or so. Sounds like a bigger announcement will be coming soon. Jason, you've got a possible guess as to what maybe it might be?
I mean, I'm just saying, when Hype was on the show last week, I mentioned TSM, and he got flustered. And then I saw a Reddit post already from someone saying that they're confirmed to go to TSM. So
half of them.
Half of them, right. Because yeah, three of them left.
The team
three
split, and they left.
Yeah, the team split, yeah. And they're going
to
be leaving.
But then the other half, I don't know if I'm at liberty to spill.
So the other half is going, obviously, somewhere else together, I guess. Don't spill it if you're not supposed to spill it.
I mean, it should be obvious. It should be obvious based on, like, the teams that people have been leaving this week.
Energy.
No.
Not energy. It's like every rumor is energy-centric every single week. Okay, so Kangarna to TSM would be pretty... It'd be great to see TSM finally nab up a team. I mean, I feel like they've been looking forever now. And
wasn't TSM the team that just played in, like, the Haste tournament?
Did they? Did they have a team?
No.
I totally missed that. They had a team.
Who? What was the Dream Casper Spo?
Are you talking about Tempo Storm? Or are you talking about...
Is that Tempo Storm? Yeah.
I think you're talking about Tempo Storm. Which is another team.
I always get those two. Yeah, you're right.
You get them mixed up, really?
Yeah, because it's TS and TS. And, like, I'm not really a big LoL guy, so I don't know them.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, we'll have to see where Kangarna ends up.
Mineral's got a good point. Splice left with three players. Kangarna has three players.
Oh, yeah, Splice split up,
too. Oh, Splice split up, too. Yeah, I didn't have that.
Flame is trying to keep a straight face right now. Look at him. I see a little smile.
Who?
Oh, come on.
Okay, so maybe...
Splice has issues.
We'll have to see if some of these teams come together. We have another, I guess, announcement, which Team Dignitas, which ended up playing in the Strivewire Brawl too. They made an announcement too about their team. It's more of an update.
They did it twice.
It's more of an update, right, than it is a brand new announcement.
Well, their roster's been shifting around, but now if you look at this Dignitas roster, Linkser is the only person that was on the original roster left. They have been swapping people consistently over time. And I actually enjoyed watching this team play. I think Toxican...
Bromas has been...
Bromas? I thought Bromas is no longer the team.
No,
oh, wait,
no,
he's
that's
still...
the very okay. first one.
Bromas, no longer my favorite European team.
My bad, too. Two of them are still consistent. But just as a random side note from watching them play last week, is Toxican, I think, is an incredibly underrated player. Like, this guy is a sick hitscan player. So looking forward to seeing how this team does now that they're reorganized again for like the fifth time.
The reorganization.
Yeah. No, that'd definitely be good to see some more. And you know, again, it's good to have some more of these smaller tournaments too that they get a chance to.
I can't wait to see them prove themselves in the upcoming ESL tournament. I mean, what?
When's that? When is that?
I see some sexy quotes, though, in this article from some people who I really well respect across the Overwatch community. I see one, after seeing Linkster on Widowmaker in mid-2016, he, to me, is still one of the strongest DPS players in Europe. Jason Kaplan. See, that sounds like a smart guy.
Oh, my gosh. How much did he pay you to do that, dude? Seriously.
None, actually.
All right.
My honor to talk about that.
He's just awesome, playing his eco. So he's good.
He is.
Can you bring me to this upcoming ESL tournament? Me and Ben are trying to find work, you know? I'm just going to go straight to the hard-hitting questions.
Okay, well, let's move on to some events, because really quickly here, we've got Apex, which has just been ongoing with a lot of different matchups. I mean, real quick update, Lunatic High over LW Blue 3-1, MVP Infinity over, Meta Athena over MVP Infinity 3-2, which is a really close series. And the Conbox, Kungdu Unsia over Conbox 3-0, which happened, I think it was this morning, and that was like pretty good stomping there. But in general, you guys catch these matches? I know Flame, you've been watching them, but Ben, Jason, do you guys catch any of these matches? And
Not a ton. I got to watch a little bit here and there, but
I got to see the Kongdu Panthera versus Runaways game today.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty interesting. A big throw out of Runaways on Nepal, but Panthera won the series, like is pretty expected.
Yeah. So far, I don't feel like there's been like a ton of upsets in Apex quite yet.
There's the groups are very imbalanced. I think it's like hard to, I mean, I don't want to say that, but it's, I like MVP Infinity was like one sound barrier away from 3-0ing Envy's, and then they lose 3-2, and then they lose to Meta Athena, and Meta Athena like is pretty good, but MVP Infinity is so good, it's just like Meta Athena is also really good, but then like, you have the group with Panthera, Fnatic, and Combox, and like, or not Combox, Runaway. It's Panthera, Fnatic, and Runaway in one group.
Yeah,
and like I think MVP Infinity could maybe like beat Fnatic or beat
they're not
Panthera, but maybe they could beat Fnatic, and like the C9 group seems really weak, but they're so, I love the matches over there, like Unseen and Panthera right now are just like shocker teams because they weren't supposed to be this good, but they're like actually very good.
Well, Panthera is something that a lot of the pros have been saying, or you know, a lot of the pros that have been in Korea have been saying they're good, they're super good in practice,
they play very consistent and like intelligent Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like they swap heroes immediately. They don't hesitate on their like compositions. They execute very well. Like they have plans. I'm a fan of the Panthera train right now, but we're not going to see much of them, I guess, left because there's no good matches for them until I guess like playoff bracket.
I see. Okay. Any other anything worth mentioning? Just with the meta you've been seeing. I mean, I did see some funny, like the MVP, the Infinity and Meta Athena match. I think was pretty entertaining to watch. But there was one particular part in Route 66 that was hilarious, where they were all lined up in the train, the actual train cart on defense or whatever. And they were just lined up, and then the Hanzo just immediately detected all of them right when the doors opened. And then so the Reinhardt ran around and it charged right up the cart and just like surprisingly didn't just destroy them.
They still lost that fight, which was
funny. Still lost that fight,
because it was their Lucio that switched to Hanzo, so they just didn't have a Lucio.
That's what it was. Okay, so it's like, that was a funny moment though. Yeah. But it's good to see that people trying different stuff. You know, like that's the one thing I'll say about some of the matches I watched. But anything that was very noticeable in terms of meta wise and seems to be working right now?
I think you can go.
Ben?
Oh, are you asking across all the tournaments this last week?
No, just Apex. Just Apex in particular. See what we're seeing.
I'll let Flame take that one then.
Yeah.
I think teams are starting to play to their strengths more than like trying to force a meta.
Okay.
Like Lunatic High has been winning with this one trick, who are you, Genji? And I mean, he's really good and it's working.
Super good, yeah.
And like that's impressive to me. I think like, who did they play? MVP? No, it wasn't MVP. It was...
Am I Combox?
Oh my god, who did Lunatic High just beat?
Oh, Lunatic High, you're talking about LW Blue, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So LW Blue like having a little bit of trouble, but they like tried to force a D.Va, didn't work. Like that match was actually really good. I like recommend anyone watch that match, either like watch it or watch my review of it. But I don't think that there's been like a really defined meta. Like Lunatic High's running dive comp on offense like every single map almost, because Miro's Reinhardt isn't super impressive. So he's just like, I'm just not gonna play Reinhardt then. And like that's interesting in itself. I don't think that people were saying like, oh, everyone's running dive. But
yeah, exactly.
It's definitely teams just playing to their strengths and like doing different things that I think is
It's also like something Siegel was talking about on a stream. I remember listening. He's talking about how whenever a patch comes out, there's like a couple week period where people are just trying to figure out like what's the strongest combos to play at the current time, like with the current patch. And then like a couple weeks from now, you'll see like a very standard kind of meta arise again. Like there was triple quad tank.
Yeah,
and people, you said, Flame, people are just playing what they can play well so they can get victories. But like, I think in a couple weeks, we'll have like more of a standard meta yet again.
Yeah, I mean, I got flamed on Reddit for like saying that Lunatic High's Genji Mercy composition was bad, but like they were clearly just like testing something. And then like, I think some other teams yesterday in the other match were running like defensive Sombra Lucio instead of like Sombra Ana on 2CP. And then like the Reinhardts are just getting slammed because the Lucio can't keep them alive. Okay. But yeah, they're definitely still testing, and there's definitely a lot of experimentation going on as far as like how to beat dive comp.
Right.
Like, it's good. It's interesting to watch.
Okay. On top of Apex, we actually had Assembly Winter 2017, which Jason had the pleasure of casting. So why don't you give us a rundown the sound real quick.
Just going to start off saying, if people ever question if there's any interest in European tournaments, well, they have no right to question that anymore. We had 16,800 nice. Viewer peak on this final day for a tournament with only like really one well-known top-tier European team, and that was NIP, who actually were able to pick up their first LAN victory, credit to them. It was a little bit questionable, actually, in the finals, but luckily for me, Hexagrams and ZP stepped in to cast because Uber had tonsillitis.
Oh, wow.
But
okay.
Mostly out of this tournament, what was really nice was the fact that we got to see players we typically don't get to see in these like bigger tournaments. For instance, Baido, who was playing for Ents, he had a fantastic fair. He actually was playing a very, very aggressive fair in a lot of these situations and able to challenge out against the likes of Soldiers, who are, you know, comp enough to deal with the fair. And then also show he can flex like multiple different heroes. He played a lot of Soldier, he played some Tracer, he played some Roadhog. Him and Desperado were interchanging like a couple different heroes. And then on the side of Helsinki Reds, we had Wumera, who played a lot of Roadhog in the beginning. But this was a team who had prepared something specific for NIP when they got to the finals. And they had him on Tracer. And he was doing some insane work with Tracer. He got multiple multi-kills with Pulse Bombs. He was insanely hard to kill. So all in all, out of a four-team tournament with only a 5K prize pool, we had insane viewership, and a lot of people out there got to see like some people you normally would never get to notice. Like, I always use this reference, but Mickey, if the Overwatch World Cup didn't happen, if Thailand didn't get a team there, he would never have been seen. He never would have joined Envious.
Right.
Well, now these two guys get a chance to like maybe show what they've gotten and kind of appeal to some teams who are maybe looking for some other players.
Yeah, Wumero was definitely a chat favorite. That guy was going pretty nuts. And man, they brought NIP to the very verge.
Yeah, they
did. People were thinking like, this is in the bag for NIP, this is going to be easy peasy. But for a second there, I thought they were going to lose. So did you, Jason, it sounded like.
Yeah. I mean, considering NIP already played them the day before in the winners finals where they 3-0'd them, and then to get pushed the entire five maps against Helsinki Reds was really confusing. But I think it also showed that Helsinki Reds did their homework the night before, because they actually went five maps against NC Sports, and then like five maps on Ilias is the final map. And then they played against Ents later on the next day and they 3-0'd them. So like, I think that's a team that you have to be careful of. They're really quick to adapt and really quick to review where their mistakes have been made. And they also play for an organization who's like a really well-known ice hockey team in Finland. So they have a lot of pressure on them as well.
I get so confused because I always see them on Twitter, that Helsinki Reds account. I'm like, who is this team? So I'm glad that like they're doing well. I'm like, they're showing that they
we need some more of these tournaments, man. Let's get some more EU teams, or at least unknown EU teams, to really get some exposure and really work their way.
Well, that's like almost CIS, right? What was like the base of that tournament?
The prize?
No, like the region.
Finland.
Oh,
Finland.
Yeah. Assembly winners, Finland.
Close.
No. What was the other tournament? There was like a Tornado Rocks in a tournament this weekend. That was the other one, I guess.
That was the what did they call it?
Strivewire.
Yeah,
that's a go-to thing. Right? Yeah.
We need to get more of them in because I heard like the Russian stream was blowing up.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that was the other thing going on.
We have to give a shout out to Nuki as well, who's trying to be really, or actually has been really prevalent in the Overwatch scene, more behind the scenes than in front of the scene, actually organizing that whole thing and putting the whole thing together to give, you know, all these European teams a chance to play again in front of their fans.
Need more people like him, man. Definitely more organizers. That's what we need, for sure. Okay, well, why don't we wrap up, guys? No questions today, unfortunately. We got, unfortunately, we gotta wrap it by.
I got to go.
He's got to go. Yeah. So we'll save up any of the questions for next week. Well, I'll promise you, we'll have time for it next week. I didn't anticipate all this like patch stuff and the server. Just all the developers update and everything, but why don't we do a shout out to Flame? You want to start us off? Where can people find you?
Find me on Discord, find me on Twitch, find me on Twitter, find me right here.
Like, what are those things you can find?
Discord's /Flame, yeah. Twitter's Matt Rod with a zero, Twitch/Flame,
okay,
whatever.
Cool. All right, we'll link those in there in just a second. Jason, want to do some shout outs?
So same shout out I usually always give. Parents for helping me give me the opportunity to do what I did. ESL for helping me get this as well. HyperX, actually, a little different this week because they actually gave me some free stuff. The sweet headset, the Cloud 2.
Really? Nice.
They're going full sellout with Hexagrams. They gave me a hard drive. They gave me 32 gigs of RAM.
What?
They gave me a keyboard, two mouse pads.
Nice,
so big shout out to them and Ben for helping me out with that one.
Ben?
Not you.
Not you.
I'm like, I don't think I had anything to do with that, actually. But yeah.
Fish sticks. Shout outs.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week for another episode. I've been trying to stream more. I've actually been streaming at least once a week lately. If you want to watch somebody struggle in the high masters, low grand masters range, please feel free to drop by. My Winston is insane. I will say that. My Winston is
insane. Winston's insane. All right. Yeah. Miro style or what? You know?
Yeah, I try to take notes whenever I watch that guy play. So, all right. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, and I'll round things out by thanking the three of you guys, of course, Flame, Jason, and Ben for doing the show with me, as well as everybody that's been watching, and Griffin for letting us, or giving us the approval on showing the developer's update on stream.
Yeah, that was live. Awesome.
That was actually really, really cool. But you guys can find the VOD for this show, if you missed any of the beginning, on youtube.com/ChainManV, as well as all the other VODs for the previous awesome episodes we've done in the past. You can also find the show on all the different audio channels, iTunes, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, all of those things. Just look for the overview and you'll find it, and subscribe to those things so you can get our feed every single week. But thanks to all those folks that are listening, because we do have a good number of listeners. People don't actually understand that there's this whole other element of people who consume our podcast that aren't on Twitch or on YouTube. So it's always great to have those folks too. And that's going to be it. Oh, you can follow me and on Twitter at ChainManV. We're planning another streamer showdown really, really soon. It's probably going to be in a couple weeks. It's going to be on a Friday. I'll have more on that soon, but for those of you who don't know Streamer Showdown, it's a game show that I've been starting, trying to push out there this year, and Overwatch is definitely one of the places that we've been trying to have some fun with a lot of the top streamers. Like we've had like Stir and Harblue and Muselk and some of the other folks on in the past. So definitely check that out whenever you can. But that's going to be it for the overview this week. So for Flame, Jason, Fishsticks, and myself, ChainManV, we'll see you next week. Later. We're still...